for this brief prayer. God of love, God of love, draw near. Amen. Today we begin with love. It is the beginning for our theme, right, of the Jesus movement. It is the first and grounding theme of the Jesus movement. So love. Love is powerful. Love is likely the most powerful force on earth, and yet we do not engage it as we think about the tools we'll need to dismantle the systems of oppression that plague our world. When we think of solutions for our current struggles, political and social unrest, the demise of many of our institutions and the leadership we believed in, well, we just don't think of love as an appropriate response. Love, we believe, is too syrupy. When it's time to strategize for survival in crisis, its generic sympathy and compassion just won't do. Our text today begins with a call to sacrificial love and then explores love through another lens, other perspectives. It mines love for truth and action and then goes on to share its ethical underpinning, one that tells us love is incomplete without justice. Our text reminds us of the breadth of love's power. We forget the power of radical love, the tough-as-nails love, the teeth-wrenching love we see on the cross, the love we're instructed to imitate. But let's be honest, so many of us believe that love has tried and love has failed. We've lost confidence in love, and yet it remains God's command to and for us. Over the landscape of my life, I have known love that stayed, love that left, love that told harsh truths, said the thing that needed to be said in the moment that it needed to be said, a love that accepted what was, a love that forgave. I've known a love that erupted in rolling on the floor, pee your pants, gut-busting laughter. I've known a love that wept, a love that surrendered, a love that demanded change, sometimes not from others, but from myself, as I matured and grew in the things of God. This multifaceted, multidimensional love is radical and strong. It is broader and wider than some of my first and very limited teachings that offered, as bell hooks shares, an abusive and hurtful love, or one that centered sacrifice and self-denial, an unhealthy repression and disconnection from one's body and any desire beyond Jesus. Love like that was too small. At some point, that kind of love no longer fits. So when I landed in the Episcopal Church, some now 10 or more years ago, I saw a video of Bishop Michael Curry walking down a city street. In it, he talked about love as this generative, robust, life-affirming, liberating power, a love that was active and alive. So let me tell you, I wanted to be part of that. At that point in my spiritual life, I was hungry for love lived out in a faith community that included justice, that invited all God's children to its table, that mandated love as our moral, ethical response to life's challenges, that made room for forgiveness and redemption, a love that I could see myself, my whole self, flaws and all. I was interested in this talk of love, despite its imperfections, in even the very tradition that dared set love as its aim. I was interested despite the risk. The Episcopal Church as a branch in the Jesus movement, I got it, and wanted to be part of this revolutionary way of living and being, and I wanted to be in that video. So yeah, dance, right? I wanted to do that. You've got to watch the video. You've got to see the video of him walking down the street, Midtown. There should be dancers behind him. Anyway, I wanted to dance down the streets behind this man that spoke so plainly about love as something we could collectively experience, something we could all, like, reorient ourselves toward. This was the love bell hooks spoke of when she teased out the energy that sits at the core of love. She said love is a verb, not a noun. It is not stagnant or simply sentimental. With love, we keep trying, we keep pushing. She went on to explore its life-affirming qualities. There's care, responsibility, commitment, knowledge, trust. This was a show and prove kind of love, an active love, a love that put others first sometimes, a love that stayed sometimes, a love that hoped always, a love that healed, a love that believed and would stick around for transformation, would wait and believe in change, a change that would come. This love was oriented towards others while remaining grounded in an expectation of good for all, including oneself. This love didn't miss what is most important about the totality of God's love. God's love for us as God's children, God's love as our source. For me, this love was powerfully sacrificial. Don't you love that? Powerfully sacrificial. And that was an important distinction for me. I could get behind that. This love understood its own nuanced nature, its movement from sentimental to sacrificial, and the many and sacred shifts therein. Because sacrificial love, as extracted from the totality that is love as a goal in community, well, that looks like burnt out leadership on all levels. It leads to martyrdom and disillusionment. It means our only motivation is fear. No, any rigorous sense of self-sacrifice must be met with the assurance that the same energy and vitality for support exists for us as well. Our ministry and work must be centered not in misdirected sacrifice, but in a love that is revealed to us through action and patterned after the love of God, which is made known to us through God's Son, Jesus the Christ. This is a love that intimately shows, intimately proves. This love tells us we belong. This love abides. This love says if we have, we give. This love helps. This love serves. This love takes the extra step. This love says, I see you, and in the spirit of Ubuntu, the African value system that recognizes the interconnectedness, says that there is no me without you, that we are all in this together. This love knows its collective power and should absolutely be centered in our activism. As we work towards the end of all war, what a dream that would be. Oppression of all kinds, homelessness, food insecurity. Believe for the hope of a better world and a brighter future. I'm reading this text and remembering the resiliency and strength of slaves as they dreamed a world anew and in the process created a legacy of hymns as sung mantra. The spirituals as prayers for their participation in a hoped-for world. Through the mystery of metaphor, they showed and told what it was like to believe and have faith, to dream themselves beyond their circumstances, to love themselves into the future. I think, too, of the determination of immigrants as they take on the risk of leaving the familiar, their language and customs, and starting over with little or very few resources. And memories of hearing my parents talking late at night and talking about their dreams for their children. There was never a promise to or even an assurance, right? There was never a promise or assurance that they'd get to experience anything that they'd hoped for, this new and good thing that they were dreaming of for themselves and for us. But it was a world they invested in anyway, a world they hoped for because of love. And I think of your stories and mine because you know you have them. The times when we pressed on for no other reason but love and are alive today to tell about it. At some point in your life, your belief and commitment to love saved you. One of my spiritual mothers would say, "You know it's true. Don't lie on God." And so I'm convinced that as believers, we're to use our lives as portals to this next world, the world where love wins and reigns. This faithful, futuristic posture says, keep going, a better day is possible. The world is on fire. It is, but likely no more so than it ever has been. We're just keenly aware now of every ember turned full-blown blaze. But the elders say, keep looking to the future. All who've endured the tragedy of unspeakable brutality say, keep going. The work and wonder of love will enable, invigorate the dream of life. This forward-looking posture is how we lay down our lives for one another, live sacrificially, how we launch each other with love into the future, buoyed by the enormity of it, love's passion and commitment, love's ferocity. Love is the primary message of the Jesus movement, as described by Bishop Curry. Together with liberation and life, we have a roadmap for life in community, a litmus test and gauge when we have questions or encounter life's disruptions. We'll use it as a reminder of who we want to be. But it will not be easy. Our epistle writer makes it plain in sharing the requirement for truth and action. We aren't simply to talk about love, but to put love, real love, to the test. Actually practice it. The writer seems to know we'll get it wrong, walk away in tears, misunderstand, keep secrets, be silent when what we should be doing is speaking up. Our writer says when we examine a lived ethic among us, we'll know and be made aware of the truth. Love won't lie to us. God, I love that. We'll find peace in our hearts and won't beat ourselves up about it when we fail, because God says God is greater. God knows. God says keep going, keep working towards love. Love is not magic or chemistry. It is creative and presents itself as an annunciation, a call of and from God in each of our lives. It is a commandment, an active word, which is wholly liberating. It is growing in freedom to love God and each other. It is intentionally life-giving, always desiring that good thing, whatever it may be, for the other and ourselves. Real love breeds this kind of justice. In today's struggle, in our busyness, in our resistance, there must be love. Love as raw, love as real, loving each other through tears, through mistakes and heartbreak, loving each other when we get it wrong, and knowing that love makes room for the apology, the I'm sorry. Love makes room for forgiveness, doesn't it? This pathway to becoming, our desire for a sense of wholeness and relationship as we center our lives on Jesus' life and teachings, has led us here. After almost 5 years, right? 5 years in October, this is where we are, right? We're growing up. We are the Episcopal branch of the Jesus Movement in Chelsea. Collectively and courageously, we embrace our identity as a truth-telling, discerning community of believers who are willing to take the risk of the higher reality that is love. I sometimes play a card game called Spades with some friends, and my strategy is to play the game, as I like to say, going down with a blaze of glory. So before the game begins, I kind of circle up with my partner, and I'm like, look, I'm going to risk it. We're going down, right? We're just going down that way. Whatever the risk is, we're taking it. But writing about love today, well, thinking about it and what I wanted to share with you, at one point, I was overcome with, like, dread. What of love, I heard my heart wonder. Like, what of love? Where was love when this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened? Yeah, my mind was pulling out all the receipts to show that love doesn't win, and that love may not conquer everything after all. And my whole body responded to that feeling, and I grew tired and sad. How can I, like a hype woman for Jesus, stand before you, right, and not feel buoyed by the promise of love? Well, only really as I stand here in this moment before you, as I took the risk, right, the risk to coming out here before you and sharing about love, did that feeling, that buoying, that holding come back to me, that centering? Love lifted me. So the grandmothers, the elders, God's blessed spirit came and lifted me, and it lifts me in this moment. And I'm here to say that I choose love. I take the risk for love. With love, I'm going down in a blaze of God's glory. And I offer that to you because in these next months, I think that's something we're all gonna have to kind of center our minds and spirits in, the willingness to give it all for love, the willingness to go down in that blaze of glory. This might be the posture we'll have to take. The enemy of our souls would tell us that we should give up, that the work of love is exhausting and not worth the small wins that we see. But I'm trusting the feeling of hope birthed from a love that will not die, a love that meets us in this moment and allows us to stand with conviction and courage, to with boldness say, no matter what it looks like, we affirm love as our strategy. In the spaces we occupy, love will be our response. Love will be the hope we pour into every situation, because it's all about love. In the meantime, and in those really hard times, the way forward is with a heart willing to take the risk. Let us be the community that finds ourselves in and activated by love. Let love be our guide. With love, we march forward and sing with hope into this precious and eternal moment. I'll ask you to bow your hearts with me. As in your own life, you recall, you remember God's promise of love to you. Remembering that because of love, you fear no evil. Remembering that because of love, we win. that love will carry you, love will take care of you, that love is the strategy. And if there's any way that you can recommit your heart to that, or for the first time commit your heart to that, do it now. Love demands something of us, and that's just true. So I can't offer just a Jesus loves you, because that's true, Jesus does. But love costs. Love wants more of you. As we talked about growing up in the things of God and in the spiritual world, like living into our spiritual formation, not being as children, know that love demands something from you, and be willing to take that risk. Just a few minutes here. As you center your mind and heart on this great love, this love that liberates and sets free, this love that heals and guides, this love that says yes to life, may you know that love today. May that love pursue you all the days of your life.